Welcome to Creative Maine, an hour-long monthly program produced for and broadcast by Community Radio WERU, 89.9 FM Blue Hill, and at weru.org. This show considers the making of craft, fine art, food, literature, music, dance, museums, and any other form of creative expression here in Maine. We also discuss topics of global cultural significance and interest. My name is Adina Salmonson, and I am your host for this monthly exploration of all things creative. Should you have comments, questions, input, or suggestions for the show, send them to info@weru.org. Please list Creative Maine in the subject line. As a lifelong musician and crafter, I am thrilled to be presenting my areas of interest and passion to you on our wonderful community radio station right here in my Orland backyard. On today's episode, we discover some of the many ways that crafters, or would-be crafters, can find their creative community in our area. Our guests are Kelly Barrett, proprietor of Verona Wine and Bistro in Bucksport, Amber Mazza of Gaiola Fola Acres and Midcoast Fiber Artists, Teresa Johnson of the Crafty Grimalkin in Bangor, and Anna Fleming from the Bangor Public Library. Welcome, Kelly Barrett. You are the proprietor of Verona Wine and Bistro in Bucksport, Maine, and welcome to Creative Maine. Today we're talking about how Mainers can find their creative communities, and I found that you and a customer of yours, Katie Carnes, came up with a plan to help folks local to Bucksport do just that. So tell us a little bit about it, a little bit about Verona Wine and Bistro, and how did you get started in the creative meetup business?
Well, it all came about very organically, I suppose. Katie and her sister were customers at the restaurant and had come in a few times. And it just so happened that one day they came in to have dinner together with a friend. And it was, I think, February or March. And they brought their crocheting with them. So I had all three of them parked at a table, just merrily stitching away. And I stopped to talk to them. I had spoken with a friend of mine about possibly doing like a sip and sketch, where people come in and they have a little sketch party, enjoy some wine and some lovely food. And that never really came together, but I'd been looking for something like that to draw the community in and have it be more accessible for more people and, you know, have like these fun little events, because I just love having community building exercises inside the restaurant. I love having little events and things like that to do something easy and fun and relaxing to draw in more community members. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really come across anything, but I saw them doing that. And I sat down to talk to them for a little while. This was the middle of winter and I was bored. And happens a lot, honestly. And we were talking about it. And I mentioned bringing the sip and sketch. And she was like, well, what about a sip and stitch? And I was like, that is a fantastic idea. I don't know that many crafters in the area. I recently moved back home after living in Colorado for 11 years. So I'm a little out of touch with the community and trying to get back into it. And so I was like, would you be willing to help organize the first couple ones? And once we got the ball rolling on that, we started making posters. We figured out that it was going to be every third Thursday. And it's just kind of an open thing, and it really, you don't have to crochet. You can knit, you can embroider, you can sew, you can quilt, you can felt, like whatever floats your boat,
whatever your sport is that's like, portable. Yeah. I guess,
yeah, whatever your little handicraft is that you can bring to the restaurant, not lose all your bits and then take it home with you and work about with it while you're eating and chatting and making new friends.
That's so much fun. Anybody can come, right? Anybody is
Absolutely. It
welcome. You
is.
don't have to reserve or anything.
I'd prefer that you did make a reservation just so that I know that you're coming. And we tend to have, we've been having like a crafter's table or a crafter's corner set up, and it ends up being family style. So everybody will sit down, in the same general area to do their crafts. And you don't need to know anybody. You don't need to socialize. If you don't want to, you can come and just be by yourself at a table and knit or crochet or stitch or what have you. But if you want to join the party and hang out with some really awesome local crafters, that is an option for you as well.
That's great. I came one time and it was super fun.
Oh,
And I
well.
didn't know any of the people at the table. And by the time I left, I felt like they were all my friends.
They're really easy to get along with. Those ladies are the sweetest, and they're so fun to talk to, and they're very welcoming.
Well, a concept that we've been hearing about lately is that of the quote, third space. Do you know what a third space is, and how does your business fill that need for crafters?
So, from what I understand, a third space is a place where it's not your home and it's not your work or school, but you can be accessible to other human beings. Like it's open for socializing. It's somewhere where you can relax, where you can be at your ease, where you can be around other community members, and it doesn't have to be for a purpose. And I realize that a restaurant usually seems like something that you would be going to for a purpose, but I have worked really hard to build a space where people can feel at their ease for hours at a time if they so choose. And I will tell you, the sip and stitches do tend to run long. Like they may,
Everybody's having fun.
exactly, it may be blocked out from 6 to 7:30, but I've had them run until I've closed up shop and they're just merrily having a little gossip out on the patio, and everybody's just giggling like mad things and having a marvelous time and absolutely making friends. I mean, I've had friends, like personal friends of mine, come and join in and make new best friends. So it is somewhere I'm trying to help make more of a third space, and it's unfortunate that I don't have as much cozy indoor seating as I would like.
Sure.
Or something like that, because it would be nice to have like a lounge area where that could happen, where people are, done with their meals, done with their wine, and they can just go sit and be on a couch and spend some more time there where it's more cozy. But
Well,
someday I hope to
the
expand.
space is cozy. I mean, it gives a
It
cozy vibe even without the couches.
is.
It's comfortable and warm and inviting. So I think you're succeeding in that,
Well, thank
definitely.
you. I worked very hard at that.
Now we know Katie is a crocheter.
Correct.
We talked about that. Are you a crafter at all, or?
I've been known to knit, but I just don't really have time for hobbies with the restaurant right now. I'm running 14 hours a day, like 6 days a week, so
Wow. Yeah, the restaurant is your life and your hobby and everything
basically.
else.
Oh yes, that
And
it's my
probably
entire
a lot of
existence
your
at this point.
personal life too.
And a lot of my stress, but that's just how
That's how
it
it goes.
goes. But once upon a time, yes, I was a knitter. I sew. I used to do my own clothing and costumes. I'm not very good at it, but that's just lack of practice, I think. I attempted crocheting for a little while, but me and the hook did not get along. I like needles better. I don't know why. It's just the
Yeah,
fact of
me
stabbing
too. Me
something.
too. It torques my wrist a little bit. And do you have some plans? To grow this concept, do you anticipate perhaps wine and pattern pairings or something fun like that? Lectures, little classes on off hours?
I'd like to at some point. I'm working toward bringing in more community events on off hours. For instance, this Wednesday, we're actually having a small fantasy and science fiction book fair with Bookstacks down the road.
Oh, what
So
fun.
they're going to be available out on the patio, and I'm going to drag a few things out of my closet for like costume ideas if people want to take pictures and things like that, you know,
Oh,
be silly with
fun.
it. And I was having some lectures from Great Pond Mountain Conservancy Trust last year. There was this really wonderful one where a man had been making a documentary about butterflies. This magnificent journey that they went on. And so that was a lot of fun. And this year it just didn't work out. I've been too busy. The patio has just been overwhelmed every single time. So
Well, that's a good problem to have.
it is a good problem to have. It's a little sad for me because I really enjoyed doing stuff like that, but it's a good problem to have. I can't, as a restaurateur, I can't complain. I do need the money. Sadly capitalistic. Oh
Yeah, well,
well.
there's a lot of things, and it's great that you're collaborating with other businesses. I've heard about some wonderful things that people are doing right now to foster community because so much is happening to drive us asunder from one another that I've heard of silent reading clubs,
Oh.
which are kind of cool. You come together, I guess you have wine and cheese or what have you for the first half hour or so, and then everybody settles down and reads their book for another hour without really talking to each other.
That might be a fun thing for over winter, actually. That's a great idea. I'm holding on to that one.
That's pretty cool, silent reading club. So that's wonderful. Or can outside groups reserve space at Verona
Definitely.
Wine and Bistro to have crafty meetups?
Absolutely. I'd be thrilled to host things like that. It's ours are on the third Thursday of the month, unless something interferes with that. Like twice a year, I'll shut down just to sh switch over from summer to winter status, get some projects done around. So that kind of interrupts it. But I would love that. Depending on the size of the group, there will be a small fee for a rental, but it's between $50 and $100. It's really not a lot. Other than that, yes, please make a reservation. Come on and see me. We'll make room for you. We'll find cozy bits where you can spend your time, enjoy each other's company, and get some work done on your projects at the same time.
I think that's great. So, how can our Creative Maine listeners find you, Verona Wine and Bistro? And learn about the crafty meetups third Thursday of every month.
Best way to do that is through our Facebook page. That's where I make the majority of our announcements. That's going to be Verona Wine Bistro. So take the and out, it's just Verona Wine Bistro. You can also go to our website at www.veronawinebistro.com/events. And that will have our entire events listing for up to 4 months at a time. And tend to list all of that stuff out. It'll have all the times on there. You can also call us at the restaurant at 207-702-9357. If I'm not there, leave a message. I'll get back to you.
Okay. And I think one of the coolest things would be to come and knit to live music, because I know that you host wonderful musicians on your patio.
June through September, that is correct.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on with me. I think this is so much fun. And when my concert schedule eases up a little bit, I'll be back to knit with you.
I would look forward to that. Thank you so much, Adina. It's been wonderful being here.
Thank you, and have a great winter season.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Creative Maine is alive with activities, presentations, workshops, concerts, and all manner of cultural endeavors. At this point in the show, we highlight a few of the many calendar items going on around the region. The College of the Atlantic will present the Greenleaf Dunn Amendola Improvisational Jazz Trio on Monday, September 22nd in The Turrets, 105 Eden Street, Bar Harbor, at 7 p.m. For more information, visit coa.edu/calendar. On Sunday, September 28th, the Crafty Grimalkin Cross Stitch Store will host its monthly Stitch and Sip at 10 a.m. at the store, 168 Center Street, Bangor. Come find your creative community. For more information, call Reese Johnston at 207-404-4300 or visit craftygrimalkin.com. Wednesdays on Main in Bucksport will close its 2025 season on October 1st with The Bare Bones, a trombone quartet based at the University of Maine. The members of the quartet include UMaine professors and an alum who play an eclectic mix of fun and engaging pieces from the literature of many genres. They will perform at the Alamo Theater, 85 Main Street in Bucksport at 5:30. For more information, call Paula Key at 207-266-7999 or email bucksportwom@gmail.com. For a more complete listing of events, visit our website, weru.org, and click the Community Calendar tab. If you would like to add an item to the community calendar, you may follow the prompts on the calendar page and submit your own event for the list. If you have an event that you feel is particularly pertinent to Creative Maine, send a note with the details to info@weru.org and list Creative Maine in the subject line. You are listening to Creative Maine on WERU 89.9 FM and on weru.org. Next, we continue to discuss where to find one's creative tribe with Amber Mazza from Gayala Fola Acres.
Welcome, Amber Mazza. I'm so glad to have you on our show. You are the proprietor of Gayala Fola, a fiber farm and store in Searsport, Maine, and as such, you've stepped up to organize a crafting meetup in your area. Today, we're talking about finding your creative tribe, so I think you can speak to that a little bit. So please explain to us what a crafting meetup is, who comes, how it works.
Certainly, yes. How it works for us is basically every 2 weeks since I think it was January or February, we have been meeting at different venues in Stockton Springs, Searsport, and Belfast. And it's an open invitation to anyone in the community, anyone who wants to learn how to do things too. You actually don't have to already have a skill in the fiber arts. And it's just an open place where artists can share ideas, teach each other things, or just quietly make something in the company of someone who understands the creative process.
That's great. Sounds like a very welcoming environment.
Yeah, it is for sure. We even have a good number of men and a bunch of different age grouped people.
Oh, wonderful. But this is everybody, which is fantastic. So what's the history of this gathering? How did you come to be the organizer?
I think that community is really important. So my husband, Victor, who's also a fiber artist, and I were talking about how we would like to know more people who did fiber arts. And we looked for a meetup type thing and didn't really find something that worked, particularly since I work full time and he also runs the farm, but he was also the code enforcement officer for our town for a long time as well. So most of the meetups were at like 2 p.m. on a Wednesday or something that couldn't accommodate working people. Mm-hmm. And we decided that if there wasn't something, we should make something. So we did. And we kind of just started a group and put it on some of the public Facebook channels and invited anyone who wanted to join.
That's great. And it's an if you build it, they will come situation, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
That's very fun. So you say you have different venues. So do you just get the word out about where it's going to be through the Facebook page or?
Yes, I make a calendar event on the Facebook page and then I share it to a bunch of open public groups in the area. And we've had them at Fawns in Belfast. We've had them at Hey Sailor in Searsport. We've had them at the Club Marina Bar in Stockton. And I've also put up polls and other things in our group for if people want to host them themselves or if they want to have like a suggested venue. It's open for that. We are on a brief hiatus with our events until next month because we're opening the Blood Moon Studio Market, and our plan is to have in our newsletter as well for our store, we're going to have our events calendar. We're going to have it at the store
So what
starting
is
in
Blood
October.
Moon Studio Market? What a great name.
Thank you. Yeah, so Blood Moon Studio Market is a yarn store that's going to be in our historic, Captain's House parlor that we're converting into a yarn store. And it's a mechanism for enhanced community and also for us to sell the yarn that we dye and are roving so that we can raise money to put in a building for the Jagger spun equipment that
Oh.
we acquired earlier this year. So we want to have a textile mill on the farm. And in order to do that, we need capital. So our hope is that by having this yarn store and putting most of the proceeds toward the building fund, that in a couple years' time, we can actually have a textile mill in Searsport.
That's amazing. Yes, for those who are uninitiated, Jagger Spun was a very long-standing Maine fiber mill, and they made wonderful yarn, actually, beautiful yarn. And now you have purchased some of their milling equipment and will carry on the legacy, which I think is tremendous. Do you feel that the fiber crafting community has grown in your area and gotten stronger as a result of the get-togethers that you host?
I think that it has certainly, at least for the people that have been going regularly, because in addition to in enhancing maybe our artistic perspectives or seeing techniques or colors that maybe we wouldn't have thought of ourselves, we also get to know each other and we get to know about each other's families, about their careers, about their jobs, about everything that's important to them as individuals, which also helps us grow together as human beings. As well as artists.
That's the point, I think, of
I
that.
agree.
And so if there are people out there who say, well, I live in that general vicinity, but there's nobody for me to knit with, spin with, stitch with, what have you, you say, yes, there is.
Yes.
Every
Anyone
2 weeks.
anyone who wants to come is more than welcome. No matter what their textile related thing is, or even if, like I said, they're just textile curious and want to learn.
Well, what a great place to learn, but from a room full of people who love what they do.
I
That's
agree.
wonderful. Can you please tell our Creative Maine listeners how they can find you, Blood Moon Studio?
Yeah,
Yes,
Blood Moon Studio
Blood
Market.
Moon Studio Market and Midcoast Fiber Artists.
Yes. So we have the Midcoast Fiber Artist is a Facebook group and anyone can request to join. And I approve everybody as long as they answer the question. That way they prove that they're not a robot.
Okay.
Because we do meet in person, so I care about that from a security perspective. So you can find the Facebook group. You can also go to my website, gialafola.com. That's GEALACHFOLA.com and sign up for our newsletter and all of the events that we're going to be having, including the fiber artist meetups and also classes that we're going to host once we open the store. You can find all of that information once a month on the calendar. And I also, for Blood Moon Studio Market, we have an Instagram and a Facebook. And oh, my farm also has a Ravelry. So, if you don't like social media, but you like Ravelry, please join the Ravelry group and get in the forums and feel brave to post whatever you want. It's open for anyone to say anything that they want.
Okay, I have to join on Ravelry now. I just have to throw in a mention. Ravelry, which is, of course, a takeoff on the word revelry, but it's for fiber artists, mostly knitters, I think, is a wonderful social media, etc., group for knitters and crocheters and spinners and so forth. And it's been up since 2014, I want to say, or was it earlier than that?
I actually think it is older. I
Older
don't
than
remember
that.
exactly when, but I do think the last time I checked, there's like 13 million people who use it. So it
It's
is a giant
huge.
community.
It's a giant community and it's international, which is very fun.
Yes.
There's commerce on the site as well. Pattern designers and others can sell what they make, but it's very much of a closed community in that you can't just wander in from the digital street, as it were. And so it's
Yeah.
very safe feeling. And there's wonderful groups, and within the groups there's discussion threads. And so I guess Blue Moon Studio Market will have its own group and discussion thread.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep Blood Moon Studio Market under the Gallifola Acres one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Midcoast Fiber Artists, will they have their own too?
I'm gonna post it under the farm one, I think. Unless
That
you
makes sense.
recommend having it its own one, which I could do. But there is actually already a Maine-centric Ravelry group. I don't know if you know about it. It's Away in Maine
Oh,
is the name
yes.
of it. I'm a member of that one, so
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think that's great. Maine has got it together when it comes to its crafting groups, I have to say.
Maine is a very creative place. It's part of what the big appeal for me is for Maine.
And me too, for sure. So, well, thank you so much. And Amber, is there a phone number or an email where people can reach you?
Yeah, certainly. 207-323-2240. And the email is gala.fola.acres@gmail.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on with me. And I think it's wonderful. I have to come by one day. What day of the week is the get together?
They are on Sundays.
Oh.
That way, anyone, they're typically in the afternoon. That way, anyone who wants to go can go, whether they have jobs or children or other commitments.
That's a good general time for everybody.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And
Thank
we'll
you.
hopefully see you in October or November.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Hello, Teresa Johnson. I'm so happy to have you on our program. You are known as Reese to your friends, so I will probably call you that for the rest of the interview, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. It's great to be
Yeah,
here.
great. Thanks for coming on Creative Maine. So, you are the proprietor of The Crafty Grimalkin. What a great name. And that's a cross stitch store in Bangor. And as the proprietor of said store, you have stepped up to host the monthly Bangor area cross stitch meetup. So please explain a little bit about what a crafting meetup is, who can come, and how it works.
Yeah, so it's just a time and a place for us all to meet. We bring our projects and we sit and we stitch and chat. Sometimes we have some snacks, doing a little enabling and share what we're working on. It's just a great way to meet friends as an adult. I feel like it's hard to do now, so it's great to find adult friends that, share hobbies with.
Absolutely. And this program is about where do you find your creative tribe?
Yes.
So,
Yeah. I was gonna
yes.
say, I've definitely met my tribe that way. It's been amazing over the last few years, the people I've been able to meet.
So when did it get started? Is that what we call it? Do we call it the crafting meetup, or what is there an official name?
I think we usually call it the stitch and sip. We usually bring coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. would always bring coffee.
Yes.
So what's the history of this meetup, and how do you join? How did you become to be the host?
Originally, it started in Augusta. There was a small group of people that met there. I met the organizer of that group, Joanna, on a Facebook page. I honestly can't recall which Facebook page at the time. She said they were meeting up in Augusta, so I went down there. Eventually, more and more people from Bangor were going to the Augusta group, so we decided that there was a need for a Bangor group. Our friend Sharon decided to organize that. We started meeting at Starbucks. Every one Sunday morning a month, I believe. At the time, I was selling online. I had my website and I was selling cross-stitch supplies online. And the lovely group of ladies encouraged me that if I opened a shop, that they would be willing to come there and stitch. So when I did that, I definitely found a place that had room for us. And that's how I became the host. I opened it and we have a nice little room in the back that we sit and talk and stitch, and it's been wonderful.
So there are other meetups in Maine. Is the Augusta one still going?
I believe so. I believe somebody else organizes it now, but there are some in Augusta. There's some in Auburn. I think there's one in Biddeford. But if you follow the group on Facebook called Vacation Land Stitchers, they share all of that information on there. The person who leads that, Michelle, is great at sharing all the meetups all the time. Every month she posts where all of the meetups are and what time they are.
How can somebody who's looking for community join Vacation Land Stitchers? What do you have to do?
On Facebook, you just search for the group Vacation Land Stitchers. I believe you just have to click join. You may have to answer a couple of questions. It's been a while since I've done it, but they're
Probably.
usually fairly easy to answer and you'll get accepted.
I think the idea is that they're trying to not have bots or trolls
Yes,
on
yeah.
these groups, so they want to make sure that you know something about stitching.
Right. I think it's like, who's your favorite designer? Just name somebody you know, something like that.
Okay. So I think that some of these meetups started online. Do you know about that because of the pandemic?
When I was going to the Augusta group, it was right before the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, everyone moved to Zoom meetings. And when that happened, we had stitchers from all over New England coming. I think there was a couple of people from Connecticut, New Hampshire, and that was fun. I didn't do the Zoom thing a whole lot because I was Zooming a lot for work at the time, but it
Sure.
was still nice to pop my head in and say hi. And I was able to chat with people online through the Facebook group.
Yeah, I know that's how I found my community was on Zoom during the pandemic. I went to Vacation Land Stitchers and they guided me to a couple of Zoom meetings. And that was great. And in fact, some of them still have Zooms from time to time.
I know that the one that I was going to, they still meet, I think it's every Sunday or and Tuesday night.
Is the Tuesday night on Zoom? Or yeah, because if you got to know people and got to be friendly with people, but you live in Connecticut, you still want to keep up with some of those folks. So that's good. So what else did people do during the pandemic years to find community? I guess that was really the way to do it.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much the only way. It was really hard, other than the Facebook groups and the Zoom. It was hard to meet people, and I think people a lot struggled, but it was nice to have your hobby to keep your mental health up.
Yes. I think it's still nice to have your hobby to keep your mental health up. I don't know about you. I've found it quite a solace in some of the more challenging times that we've had lately. And do you feel that the cross-stitch community has grown and gotten stronger as a result of these meetups?
I think so. I think the stitching community in Maine has really grown over the last few years. People are really coming together and getting together and making new friends. I didn't know such a community existed in Maine until this started happening. I didn't know there were so many stitchers in Maine.
I think people who do certain crafts, not knitting so much, because I think knitting has a different center. There's a lot of yarn shops and things like that. So the actual center of the knitting community is a little bit different, I feel. But when you stitch or you do something like punch needle or rug hooking or something that's a little more, I don't want to say off the beaten path, but not as populous, maybe. You tend to have this feeling that you're the only one who does it, you know? Well, my mom did it, so I do it, but I don't know anybody else who does it.
There was a lack of needle workshops in Maine until recently, and I think that was part of it. Nobody knew anyone else who stitched because there was no stores in Maine. And now that there are a few, and it's becoming more popular, I get people coming in that haven't stitched in 20 years. They're like, "Oh wow, look at all this new stuff." And it's been really great.
I know that there's a couple of online needle workshops, and you were one of them.
I was, yeah.
And there's a couple more, but they can't be, well, I guess they could if they do it on Zoom, but it's more difficult to be a center of community
Yes.
when you're strictly online.
Yeah, and that was my difficulty when I was just online. I still got to meet people because I got to go to those gatherings, but I didn't have such a core group of people.
Well, I know that in addition to meetups, the meetups kind of culminate in retreats.
Yes.
And needle workshops are very often the catalyst for retreats. Can you talk a little bit about what a retreat is?
Sure. A retreat is kind of the same thing as a stitchy meetup. The stitchy meetups are usually only a few hours. A retreat can be a whole day or 2 days. Usually meet at a community center or hotel room or something like that, a convention center. You usually get a goodie bag when you go, and you have a table full of people that you can meet or people you already know, and you just sit and stitch for the whole day and talk and eat and
And eat and talk.
And eat and
I think
talk
it's
and
funny because a lot of times people will say that, oh, I went to this great cross stitch retreat and it was so inspiring and I put 10 stitches in.
Yes, you end up doing a little bit more talking than you do stitching, but it's great. So you get to see what everybody's working on. Designers you might not have seen before, fabrics, threads you haven't used before. It's a great way to get your eyes open to what else is out there.
I think one of the main differences, though, between a meetup and a retreat is that a meetup is free. You just wander in. You don't have to reserve. You don't have to do anything. Retreats can get quite contentious when it comes to who goes because they fill up in the matter of 5 minutes or less.
Spaces are limited. So when you hear about a retreat, you do have to sign up as soon as it opens.
Right, you have your finger poised over the button. But you get to know about these retreats from the meetups, and yeah, you get to know through the grapevine in your own stitching community.
And that's what's great about social media too, is it's usually shared on those Facebook groups or Instagram, things like that.
I know people like to bash social media, and there's issues with it. I teach school, and we have in the school I teach right now, they have quite a strict cell phone policy. And the kids have actually said to me, you know, it's great I'm not distracted by the social media on my phone. However, if you're an adult who's more responsible and more mature and you're not as addicted to your phone, you can meet people, you can find out things. You can be part of an online community.
And it's a great way to find out information. I know as a busy parent myself, I work, I have kids. It's great to be able to log on and say, "Oh, there's a meetup, this night that I probably wouldn't have heard about unless I saw it on social media."
So I think our Bangor area meetup is pretty consistent as to the day. It's not random, right? So when would a meetup the next meetup take place?
Our next meetup is September 28th. It is usually the third Sunday, but I have an event the weekend before, so I can't have my shop open the weekend before. But this one is September 28th. And it
And
usually runs from 10 to 1-ish.
yeah, or until people
So people
decide they're
get tired.
going to go home.
And you
Do you
don't have
ever
to
have
stay the
hangers
whole
on
time.
and what?
I was just saying, you don't have to stay the whole time. You can come late.
Do you ever have people who just don't want to go home?
I do. But we end up sitting and chatting a little bit longer.
That's great. That's great. So you are what we call multi-craftual, which is a fun term that means you do more than one thing, craft-wise. So describe just briefly your creative journey.
Well, when I was younger, I did all the crafts. I was still very crafty when I was a child. I did the friendship bracelets and all of that. My mom was a quilter, so I would help her quilt. When my kids came around, I started quilting full time. I did that for a very long time. Then I decided I needed something more portable that I could bring to their sporting events. I could sit in the living room with them, watch TV, the type of person that always has to be doing something. So I tried knitting, I tried crocheting, which I still really love. But once I found cross stitch, I don't tend to give that up. I go back to the other crafts once in a while, but I always go back to cross stitch.
What compels you about cross stitch? What draws you in so much?
It's very soothing and relaxing. I love making the picture on the fabric. I love seeing it come together, all of the different colors. It's usually the colors that draw me to what I decide to stitch. I just love working with all of that and all the materials.
It just feels so good in your hands,
It
and
does. It does.
I've heard people talk about the sound of the thread as it goes through the fabric is just so soothing,
Yes, it is.
which is interesting. What do they call that? ASMR.
Yes, they do.
So that's kind of fun. So do you ever feel the need to feed your desire for creative community with your other crafts, with knitting and crochet, or not as much?
Not as much. If I didn't have cross stitch, I might, but I feel like I get most of my, don't know how to say it, social battery filled from my cross stitch groups.
Very good. Yeah. So tell our creative Maine listeners, how can they find some of these various components? So we've talked about Vacationland Stitchers on Facebook, and you just go search that, right? But how about the Crafty Grimalkin and Bangor Cross Stitch Meetup? How do you suggest people look for you?
Follow me on Facebook. I do have once a month a Wednesday night group that meets in the evening, and I usually post that on my Facebook page. So that's the best way to find that information out. Or you can give me a call. The number at the shop is 207-404-4300. Or just stop in at 168 Center Street. Say hi, and I can fill you in on when the next meetups are.
Cool. And you have an online shop still, so where would they find you there?
Yes, it's www.craftygrimalkin.com.
What's a grimalkin?
It is actually an old English word for an old cat or a witch's cat. It was the name of the cat in Macbeth, and I'm a cat fan, so we had to do something cat related.
I love it. I think that's so much fun. Well, thank you so very much. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope that people can come to you to find their crafty community. I think that is one of the better things that one can do for one's own, as you say, sanity and mental health. So give it a shot.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks so much, and have a wonderful holiday season. We're getting started with fall, which is a wonderful crafting season. So,
My favorite time of year.
yes, absolutely. Okay, be well, Teresa.
Okay, thank you.
Anna Fleming, thank you so much for coming on Creative Maine with me. You're the teen librarian at the Bangor Public Library, and you also coordinate the library's Stitch and Sip group, which is what we're discussing today. We're talking about crafters finding their creative people, their creative tribe. So tell us a bit about what you do at the library and how you got involved with Sip and Stitch.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Like you said, I'm the teen librarian at the Bangor Public Library. So typically my day is spent in the teen room. I work with middle and high school students and I order books for them and I plan so many different programs for them.
So did Sip and Stitch come about because of the teens or because
No,
of
so
the
Stitch
space?
Came about, my wife and I moved here a couple of years ago and did not know anybody. I had just turned to knitting and crocheting as kind of a hobby. It was so cold. I'm from the South. I was not ready for winter here. So I couldn't make sweaters ASAP. So I kind of jumped straight into that. And then a couple of months later at the library, I'm knee deep in teen programs. We're planning like gingerbread workshops. It's around Christmas time. It's winter. It's chilly outside. And one of our amazing adult programming librarians comes upstairs and into the teen room and says, you know, hey, you knit and crochet. I have all these adults asking me to start a knit and crochet program, but I don't even know how to hold a knitting needle. I was like, well, I can teach you, but also like, that sounds like fun. I know I'm the teen librarian, but I sure would enjoy, you know, I would totally come to that. And she was like, well, do you want to run it? It's like, well, let me ask some questions first. But yes, I really would. So I joke with a lot of people that Stitch and Sip started because I just wanted friends to knit and crochet with. And that has remained true a year and a half later.
I think, truthfully, that's how quite a few of the groups available get started. Someone is in a position to start something like that, and they say to themselves, well, I'm lonely. I have no friends to fill in the blank, knit, crochet, cross stitch, what have you. I think I'll just shake the bushes and see who's out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long ago did you start this? Did you say a year and a half ago?
About a year and a half. Yeah, last summer.
Mm-hmm. And so how does it work?
So it's a really chill, laid back program because I don't like to walk into a program and it's like really intense and like everyone's staring at me. We don't do that. So I just set up a couple of tables and some chairs and make a lot of coffee and tea. Sometimes we have little treats, like especially if it's around a holiday. Like last year, we all made some Halloween treats to bring in and share. So I imagine we'll do that again this year. I'm excited. Yeah, and we just welcome any and all crafters, mostly fiber crafts of any and all skill levels, ages, backgrounds, what have you. And we all just sit and stitch and sip for about an hour on every other Thursday night in one of our community rooms at the library.
Is that the area in the front of the library where there's a little cafe, or do you do it elsewhere?
We do it elsewhere. So we're still on the first floor near that cafe, but if you come around towards the adult circulation desk, and then it's all the way tucked back in a corner.
That's cool. So it's sort of protected and...
A little bit, yeah.
Yes, and more intimate, maybe?
More intimate for sure, yes. When I was planning this group, I was trying to figure out what space I wanted to use at the library because we have several different event areas. And several different things had been offered to me, and I'm used to working with teens. So I'm like, well, can't do it in the teen room. That's obviously not going to work. What else is out there? And I knew that I wanted it to feel cozy and intimate, especially like for those winter months when we're just kind of in it for the long haul together, just sipping our little coffee and our tea. So the community room was a perfect fit on the first floor.
That's great. So people don't have to register. They just show up and...
Oh, they just show up. I'm not a fan of registration for programs. I think that it can be a barrier sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things that I was thinking about with Stitch and Sip was how can I engage the most people from the most demographics? So really thinking about like, what time are we having this at? It's at 5:30 to 6:30 every other Thursday. So it's after work, it's after school. You have time to eat a little dinner beforehand, but it's also not too late afterwards. And I knew that I wanted to involve as many young people my age as I could, partially for selfish reasons. Again, I said I wanted to start this because I wanted friends. But also because since the pandemic, knitting and crocheting especially have really taken off with younger generations. I was really surprised the first couple of meetings that we had for Stitch and Sip how many people my age came. So I was fully expecting it to be, most people a lot older than me, a lot of retirees. We definitely have that demographic as well, and I'm so grateful for them, but it's really nice to have that mix. So I'm glad that I was able to kind of plan accordingly to see what I can do to make that happen.
And just to illustrate, because this is radio, you're in the late 20, early 30 demographic.
I'm 24, yes.
Okay, so even younger than that. So that's, yeah, that is a young demographic, and probably many of them started as late teens.
Yes, that's what I found too.
Do you see this initiative as part of what place libraries now hold in the current era?
Yes, absolutely. So I am a big believer that libraries should show up for their communities. That's a thing that I say a lot in my line of work. When I partner with different community organizations, one of the first things I'll say is often, thank you for showing up for our community in this way. Because I truly believe that that is what libraries are supposed to do. And so I think that communities change a lot. And I think that libraries should change and grow a lot with their communities. So a lot of people, especially folks from older generations, see libraries as like this big historic building that like is just like the holder of information. That's where you go to get books and nothing else. And I'm really glad to be a part of a younger generation of librarians who are coming in and being like, hey, let's shake things up. Like, yes, absolutely, we need to hang on to that historic, those historic buildings and those historic collections. But our communities are changing in different ways, and maybe not so many people are coming in and looking for those really old historic books. Maybe they're just looking for community. Maybe they're looking, they need to learn a new skill and they don't know where to turn for that. So I think that libraries are a really great place for that.
They are. There's been a lot of talk about the third space, and I hear much more about that concept lately. And the third space is a place that is not our home, and it's not our school or work, but it's some place we can also call our own and meet with other people. And so you see the Bangor Library as that kind of place.
I do, yes, 100%. I'm really passionate about libraries because they are third spaces, I believe. And I believe that third spaces should be open to everybody and they should have something for everybody. And so I'm really passionate about making sure that the Bangor Public Library has something for everyone, especially something that's free and no cost, and there's such low barriers to enter, to join whatever group there may be.
That's right. So participation is easy.
Yes, exactly.
That's great. So, do you speak with folks in your kind of position at other main libraries who do something similar?
Yeah, so Stitch and Sip, I borrowed from the Augusta Library. I was kind of inspired by their setup and what they do. So I knew that they had a fiber arts group, and Bangor and Augusta are not the only libraries that have fiber arts group. You should definitely ask your own local library to see what kind of groups that they have. But there's so many different ways that libraries are showing up for their communities in kind of non-traditional ways that you maybe wouldn't think of. So lots of libraries are doing fiber circles and coming together for their communities in that way and saying like, hey, there's so many knitters and crocheters, let's do it at the library. One of my favorites is in Orono at the Orono Public Library. It's not a fiber arts group, but it's called Geezers and Sneakers Getting Coffee. And they noticed that there was a need in their community. A lot of older folks were walking around neighborhoods and started hanging out together. They were like, why not do it at the library? So now I think it's every Thursday. They start and end a walk at the library, and then I'll chat and hang out for coffee afterwards. That's
That's
maybe not
fun.
something that you would think happens at your local library, but that and so much more.
And do you sense that people are all forging friendships and more connection because of the group?
Yes, without a doubt. So many people have been using the library more because of that, and I see them using the library more together. So one of my colleagues, Amanda, runs a book club, and several people from Stitch and Sip have been attending her book club and going together in pairs and saying, "Hey, will you read this book with me?" And that's just been really sweet to see, especially across generations.
That's lovely, yes. So, how can our Creative Maine listeners find you and Stitch and Sip and Stitch and the community room at the Bangor Public Library?
So our hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 to 8, and then Friday, Saturday, 10 to 5. And Stitch and Sip is actually this Thursday, September 18th, from 5:30 to 6:30. And we meet every other Thursday. So our next meeting after that will be October 2nd. And then one of my favorite times of year is coming up that's kind of related to Stitch and Sip. We have our big annual craft swap coming up on October 4th. It's a Saturday. So all kinds of people are bringing in donations right now of all different kinds of craft supplies, all for free. And folks from the community and beyond, we have people travel for this every year now. It's an event, can come and get free craft supplies and trade in and out the things that they want or don't want based on what they're working on, which is really cool.
Perfect. So, listeners, after you hear this from 4 to 5 on September 18th, run right over to the library with your crafts and sit there with Anna and do your thing. Thank you so much for coming on Creative Maine with me. I'm very grateful you could take the time, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to my lovely guests, Kelly Barrett, Amber Mazza, Teresa Johnson, and Anna Fleming. Our theme music is composed and performed by Ariel Chapman. If you have questions or comments for me or any of our guests, please send them to info@weru.org. Please write Creative Maine in the subject line. Please join Creative Maine at WERU 89.9 FM or on WERU.org for another eclectic episode on Thursday, October 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, when we will explore the many creatives represented at the Common Ground Fair. Thank you so much for listening. This is Adina Salmonson wishing you a wonderful month of the arts and crafts that enrich your life and bring you joy.